presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Thank you, Kerry, for your kind... Well, I invited myself. I'm here to talk about school chaplaincy. I'm a little bit excited, and I'll tell you why I'm excited. Because there's three other SMG people like me, there's four of us, and we're speaking this morning in 10 churches. And that's the beauty of school chaplaincy, which is what I want to talk to you about. My hero is Kathy Moore. You just probably know her as Kathy Moore. I know her as the school chaplain at Wyala Stewart, Arda 6, and she is a hero. I also acknowledge Marisa. She was a champion chaplain at Memorial Oval Primary, but she's no longer there. Circumstances changed. I'm here for 10 minutes to talk to you about school chaplaincy, and why am I excited? Because we're going to 10 different churches talking about the one message, and the one message is that there's a Christian presence we can have in 6 schools in Wyala. And of those 6 schools, Jared, you might know Jared, some of you might know, he's at the high school, Wyala Secondary. Yeah, good on you, Jared. Kathy, our hero, she's at Wyala Stewart. Clap, 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 yes. But we've got 4 schools that are vacant. And so part of us being here in the town on a Sunday morning, the 25th of August, is to encourage people to think and pray, do I know someone who loves God and loves kids, or me myself, as in, do you have that opportunity where you could be a Christian presence in a school? And why are we at 10 churches? Because the school chaplaincy program brings together all the Christian churches in town. So this morning, I've got someone at the Wyala Anglican, the Wyala Baptist, the Wyala Catholic, the Wyala Lutheran, the Wyala Uniting, the Wyala Salvation Army, the Wyala Southern Lights, the Wyala Bethel Church, the Wyala ACC on Life Unlimited on the main road, and one more, the Country Music Awards, the Christian Missionary, that's Jared's mob. Yeah, so that's exciting, is that 10 different churches with 10 different traditions and styles and ways of doing things, they all come together. It's all about the gospel. There's a thing that joins all 10 churches, and that's the Nicene Creed. That is accepted as the basis of belief. It was written about 400 AD, and it unites together all the churches that we're here for the gospel. And so school chaplaincy is about being a Christian presence in a school. There's our 4 schools. Mops, Memorial Oval. Nicholson, Wyala Town, and Fisk. So we're looking for someone. Someone could be really keen and say, I'll actually put my hand up for 2. There are qualifications involved, but qualifications are negotiable. So many people come to me and say, oh, I don't have the qualifications, I've only got this. And I say, actually, you're pretty close. Either, yep, you're in, or you might need to just sign up to do 2 units of a Cert 4, and 2 units of a Cert 4 you can do in about a month each, honestly. They're not that hard. And so many people, they think the qualifications are a hurdle, and they're not. Chaplains do. Chaplains are a friend and a mentor to kids. They are a friend and a colleague to staff, and they are a support and a networker or a resourcer? Bad word. A person who resources to the parents and caregivers. So chaplaincy involves a holistic care of the whole school program. Of course, Caleb and Kerry, they are no strangers to school chaplaincy. Caleb was chaplain at Ayr High, that's now closed. Kerry, Stuart and Ayr. Yeah. And Sunrise, but not with SMG. So you've got a good tradition of school chaplaincy here in Caleb and Kerry. Chaplaincy is about being pastoral and being the hands and feet of Jesus by serving the school. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, we're running a 1 hour information session, which is really informal. If you know someone who perhaps might like to find out more, tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, there's an info session to just find out more. Or if you yourself think, I'd just like to talk to someone one-on-one about it, I will be staying till the end of the service. I had to tell the salvos 20 minutes ago, see you later, I'm off, but here I'm staying till the end. So I'll be available to talk as well afterwards. And so the information session is to find out more, etc. We would love to see those schools filled. And so think and pray about whether, have I got time, and is that something that's on my heart to be a friend and a mentor to kids and families in schools? Or do I know someone? School chaplaincy. There's brochures at the back, and there's also a flyer which gives a bigger picture of chaplaincy and schools ministry group. So I would encourage you, think and pray about school chaplaincy. It is a very, very rewarding opportunity to be in a school. Kerry, Pastor Kerry, has also asked me to bring a word and an encouragement. And I love encouraging people. And I've got a word which is a really simple, basic word. So that when I say it, you go, oh yes, I know that. But it's like, dare I use the analogy of football. If you can't kick a ball, you're really going to struggle to be a footballer. Okay? Is that a fair statement? If you can't kick a ball. And how often have you screamed at the television and said, learn to kick the ball? Because these AFL players on these eye-watering salaries, and they're right in front of two big white posts, and they go off to the side, and you go, really? I could have done a better job. It's about the basics. And this is a real important basic of the Christian faith that has revolutionised my life. When it came from here down into here, and it took a lot of years. You know, it takes time for stuff to work through the filter and the dross and all the other stuff that's in here. By way of introduction, I want to tell you a story. True story. The US Army did a survey after World War II. There's a long story, but I'm going to go and bring it short. The US Army did a survey of returning prisoners of war because they wanted a survey and find out, was there any special ingredient in the soldiers who actually went through the trials and tribulations of being a prisoner of war and survived and returned, compared to anecdotal stories of people who were captured and just gave up. So they recognised that with prisoners of war, there were two groups. One group that just gave up, and another group that just hung on And you can imagine a prisoner in a jail, like the Port Augusta jail, they've been convicted of a crime, they're serving time. But a prisoner of war, you were just unlucky enough, you're a soldier, and you're just unlucky enough to get captured. You're in a prison with other soldiers. You don't know how the war is progressing. Are we winning? Are we losing? How long are we going to go? I got captured in 1941. Not I didn't, because I wasn't born. A prisoner might have said, I got captured in 1941 flying over France. I'm in a prisoner of war camp in Germany, and I'm not liberated till May 1945. Now, that's 4 years. So imagine going through. And anyway, the US Army wanted to know, was this secret ingredient? Was it about race? Were there a certain group of people who were stronger? Maybe it was diet. They checked out the diets. They checked out the family history. Were city people back home more able to stand the rigors, or were country people stronger and better able? They tried to find out what the ingredient was that gave people the ability to hang on through a really tough time as a prisoner of war, and they came up with one common theme, and this is it. You ready for it? The common theme that kept people going in a really, really tough time. It's this. When someone knew, they really knew that somebody at home loved them and was waiting for them, that's what kept them going. That's what the US Army concluded, that the family connections back home were what kept soldiers going through the tough times. And often these soldiers were put in isolation where they didn't have their companions to support them. When we are loved by God, when we know we are loved by God, that changes everything in our Christian life. It makes the Bible more real. It makes the gospel. We understand now that the cross is all about because Jesus loved me. His work in our life, the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, is because I am loved by God. So this is a cardinal truth that all other understanding grows from. When we know we're loved by God. Let me read to you Ephesians 3, verse 18. May you have the power. This is Paul's letter to Ephesus. 3:18. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Paul's prayer is, he wants us to know how much we are loved, how important that is. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 35 onwards. You'll know this one. Again, Paul writing to the church in Rome. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? I'm going to jump to verse 38. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, and life can't. The angels can't, and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. I just want to give you three facts, three proofs of why we know we are loved by God. Three reasons why we know we are loved. And the first one I've just read out is because the scripture from Genesis to Revelation is full of God's love for us. You don't have to go far from the scriptures to see the enormity of God's love for us. So fact number one, we are loved by God because the Bible tells me so. And there's that lovely little song that we taught when we were really little, really little. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. That is the truth. Secondly, the fact that we are objects of the enemy's attacks, temptations, and wrath. For example, if you wanted to hurt me, you could come up and you could kick me in the knee. But if you really wanted to hurt me, if you really wanted to hurt me, you would hurt the thing I love the most. My wife, my kids, and my grandchildren. That would be the way to really hurt me, is to hurt the ones that I love the most. The devil can't give God a sock in the mouth. So how does the devil hurt God? How does the devil outwork his hatred of God? By attacking the things that are most precious to him. The fact that the enemy attacks you means that we are very, very, very precious to God. Again, let's turn to Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 13. Ephesians 6, verses 11 to 13. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against the wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Paul repeats himself twice. So there's three times he says, this is who we're fighting against. And in fact, in verse 12, for we are not fighting against, that word fighting is a Greek word which means actually wrestling. And you can think of wrestling. Wrestling is close, sweaty. I just can't get the sweaty thing out of my head. But it's physical, it's close, it's not someone from a distance shooting an arrow, shooting a bullet, a sniper. It's close hand-to-hand combat. That's what that word is. So that scripture should be read as, for we wrestle not. It's very close and personal. He gets up close and he attacks us in a very physical way. So, fact number two, we know we're loved by God because we are an object of the enemy's attacks. And the third one, and here's the big one, the absolute number one. Third fact, that how do you know you're loved by God? Well, what price did God pay to send Jesus to the cross? He didn't just kick out one of his angels and said, here, you can do the job. He sent the most precious commodity in the universe, and that is the life of his own son. That's how much he loved us. That's the truth of the gospel, and that's why when the enemy speaks to you at night and says, oh, no, look, God's really quite angry with you, you know. God's really not happy with you. He's a bit tired of this, actually. I mean, again with this sin, again with this issue. I mean, really, he's getting a bit over this. That's the enemy lying. But go back to Jesus. God sent his most precious gift to win our salvation. That's why we know we are loved by God. The tragedy is that so many see God as angry and judgmental or indifferent, and that is so not the truth. You read the Psalms and you see that God is as close as your next heartbeat. There's one psalm, I think it's around 135, and it's got two verses. And one verse says, God placed all the stars in the heavens and named them. And then directly after that, the next verse, God sees the brokenhearted. So in two verses, right next to each other, God is so big that he placed every star. Every star. I mean, that just blows your mind. Placed every star and knows every star, and yet he can find something that a surgeon can't find. A surgeon can find damage, but a surgeon can't find a broken heart. But God sees the broken heart. God is so big that he names the stars, but he is so... He wide angle to see the stars, but close up in a microscope, he sees our human heart. That's the love of God. How many people have a deep sense of insecurity? That was my story. I'm born an identical twin. And so all my life, I was competing. I'm still competing. All my life, I felt insecure and inferior to my older brother, who just happened to be better than me at most things. And that played on me for years and years and years until I got a revelation that I was loved by God. That's why this is my story. You think I'm preaching to you? I'm preaching to myself, because I need to remind myself, because there's part of me, the old nature, that still feels a bit insecure, and I have to constantly say, no, I believe what Scripture says. I believe what the cross says to me, etc. How many people carry a grief and sadness because of a past or present loss, knowing that Jesus said that he will be our comfort, he will be our support? When we know we're loved by God, coming to church is a really lovely time, because we want to be with other people who also love God. So that's just natural. When we know we're loved by God, we just want to be with him. We want to talk to him. Prayer is just, I want to talk to my best friend because I know he loves talking to me. Here's a big one. When we know we're loved by God, I can safely, easily reach out and have relationships. And if I don't get anything in return, that's okay. I will love you. If you don't love me, that's okay, because I'm loved by God. Can you see how when we know our love, the love of God in our life, then we can confidently build relationships, knowing that our relationship with God is what keeps us together. I don't need your love, because I've got the love of God. And when you know that, then you can reach out to people who've maybe hurt you in the past, and you can go, I can reach out to them. I'll build a bridge to them. If they don't come to me, that's okay, because I am secure and at peace and one because of my relationship with God. Therefore, that affects the way we relate to everyone else. It also affects the way we look at ourselves. Because remember, there's three great relationships: our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with God, and our relationship with other people. And all three are transformed when we know we're loved by God. Life, there's going to be lots of things happen won't know why. And it's often tempting to cry out, why did this happen? And often we won't get an answer. Through life, there'll be the waiting time. And you'll cry out and you'll say, when, Lord? When? Or you may be stuck in a situation and you don't know how it's going to work out. I can't promise you that this side of heaven, you will get to know the answers to why and to how and to when. But when you know who is in charge, the hows and the whys and the whens, they fade into the background. They're never away, but they're in the background because what's so important is who. Can I encourage you in your walk with God day by day that what we are certain about, I just told you the three facts, this we are certain about is the who. So if there's anything you take home from this message, love of Jesus, the love of God outworked through the Jesus on the cross is the proof and the fact of who we have given our lives to, and that's what holds our life together, that's what holds ourself, and that's what holds our relationships with other, because we know who. Can I pray? Heavenly Father, reveal your love to each of us. Just like Paul's prayer, may we know your love. How wide, how long, how deep, how far is your love that you have shown in the person of Jesus, in the continuing promises of the Scripture, and in the abiding and very real presence of the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us in all truth. Lord, that's our prayer. May we know more of your love. Reveal your love to us because we know it's life-changing. Lord God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.